Tonight I want to talk to you about a message entitled Exploring the Depths of Worship.
今天晚上讲到的主题是深层敬拜的探索。
Look with me to the book of Luke chapter 5.
我们来看路加福音第五章。
And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and he was washing their nets, and he entered into one of the ships. It was Simon, and told him that he would trust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing, nevertheless at thy word I will let down thy net. When they have done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net break. And it became unto him that the partners who were in the other ship, they will come near and help him, and he came and filled the boats, and they were beginning to sing. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that were taken, and there were with him James and John, the son of Zebedee, and we were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Fear not, for henceforth you shall catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, and they forsake all to follow him. Amen.
打鱼的人却离开船希望去了，有一只船是西门的，耶稣就上去请他把船撑开，稍微离岸就坐下，从船上叫训众人。讲完了，对西门说：“把船开到水深之处，下网打鱼。”西门说：“父子，我们整夜劳力，并没有打着什么，但依从你的话，我就下网。”他们下了网，就宣出许多鱼，往险些裂开，便招呼那只船上的同伴来帮助。 他们就来把鱼装满了两只船，甚至船要沉下去了。西门彼得看见，就俯伏在耶稣膝前说：“主啊，离开我，我是个罪人。”他和一切同在的人都惊讶这王所打的鱼。他的同伴西比泰的儿子雅各、约翰也是这样。耶稣对西门说：“不要怕，从今以后你要得人了。”
Now this evening we're going to divide the sermon into three parts.
今天晚上的讲道是三个部分。
We're going to talk about part one, the prophetic understanding about the situation at Lake Gennesaret.
第一个部分我们就要从先知性的角度来谈格林萨勒湖。
Part two, we're going to talk about the eight divine counsels to prosper in this new year.
第二个部分我们要讲到使你新年繁盛八个的神圣忠告。
And part three, we're going to understand the eightfold process in hearing God in worship.
第三个部分我们要讲在敬拜中能够听到神的声音的八个步骤。
Let's begin with verse 1.
第一节。
Now verse 1, it happens in a place, a region called Galilee.
第一节告诉我们这个故事发生在加利利。
Let me give you the historical background. Galilee is above the hill country of Ephraim and the hill country of Judah in Judges chapter 20 verse 7.
在士师记二十章第七节讲到，加利利这个地方是在犹大跟以法莲山坡上。And
Galilee comprises of five tribes of Israel: Naphtali, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, and Dan.
那么加利利那边一共有五个以色列支派：以法莲、西布伦、以撒迦。
And then Galilee is located in the north. It is 45 miles from Litani River from Lebanon and near to the valley of Jezreel. And this, the Lake Gennesaret itself, it is 166 square kilometers.
23
kilometers in the north to the south.
从北到南是23公里,
11 kilometers from the east to the west,
从东到西是11公里,
46 meters deep,
有43公里深,
206 meters below sea level,
它是在, 低于海里面206公尺,
65 miles from the Dead Sea,
它是北方65英里处,
is a freshwater lake.
它是有新鲜的活水,
that contain two kinds of fishes,
可是里面有两种鱼,
sardine and tilapia.
Tilapia鱼跟沙丁鱼。
That's the background.
好了,
and now we begin the preaching.
现在跟你讲到了,
Luke 5 verse 1 begins, and
他说第一节是一个,
and in my Bible is a continuation of Luke 4.
好，在第五章第一节是 还有就是继续的意思，就是第四章结束以后，第五章接着来。
Now this end was connected to chapter 4 from verse 42 onwards to 44.
继续是连到第四章42节到44节这个故事。
And you find that Jesus began to preach among the synagogue in Galilee.
你就发现到耶稣在加利利的会堂开始讲道。
And Galilee is located in the north.
加利利在北方。
It's very strange that Jesus should be preaching in Jerusalem, but he didn't preach from the capital city, he preached in the north.
你就觉得很奇怪，耶稣应该到首都耶路撒冷去讲道，可是他跑到北方加利利去讲道。
Oh, my people of Taiwan, you are also called to preach in the north.
那么台湾的朋友们，你也是被呼召到北方去讲道。
Though this is north of Taiwan, Taipei, but God is saying go further north.
不仅是台湾台北是北部，可是神告诉你要去更北方。
God said go further north to China.
神说去北方一点，中国。
As Jesus preached in the north, so must his disciples preach in the north.
耶稣在北方讲道，所以他的门徒也要在北方。
Amen. And the Bible said, and it came to pass.
后来就发生什么事呢？
Now, this scripture here says, and it came to pass.
那么这些经文说就发生了这个事。
This phrase is a very unique phrase. Tonight, I want you to catch it very carefully.
所以你要很仔细地听这一句话的意思。
When the prophets in the Old Testament spoke, it came to pass.
当这个旧约的先知说，就是这样发生了。When
the apostle preached in the New Testament, it came to pass.
那么在使徒在新约讲道时，他说就这样发生了。
When Jeremiah prophesied that the people will go through the 70 years of Babylonian captivity, it came to pass.
耶利米说他的百姓要被掳巴比伦70年，就这样发生了。Whatever
the prophets and the apostles have said, it came to pass.
不管使徒先知说什么，他都成就了。And
whatever Jesus in this context spoke to Peter, it came to pass.
不管耶稣在这个地方跟彼得说什么，都成就了。Tonight
I want to ask you a question.
今晚要问你个问题。Has
the word of God come to pass in your life?
神的话语有没有在你的生命上成就？
Has the prophecy of God come to pass in your life?
对你讲的一些的预言有没有成就呢？
Has the promises of God given to you come to pass in your life?
神的应许在你的生命上有没有成就呢？
Has the word that you received in the year 2002 come to pass in your life?
是不是你在2002年所接受神的话语有没有成就呢？
All that God has spoken to you, has it come to pass?
是不是神过去所说对你的话语都成就了呢？
Why do you read the Bible like a novel?
你为什么读圣经像读小说呢？
The Bible is impregnated with the word of God and life.
神的话语，神的圣经里面充满了神的话语跟。And
it must come to pass.
而且一定要成就。It
must come to pass in your life.
一定要在你的生命成就。Why
do you want to be a prophecy collector and don't seem to see the reality and the fulfillment?
你为什么只是到处收集人对你讲的预言，可是你没有看到他成就的这种希望？
I pray tonight.
今天我为你祷告。
That whatever we speak.
不管我们说什么,
Luke 5 is going to come to pass in each and every one of you. I want you to come alive tonight that this word is going to come to pass. I want to tell you that this word must come to pass tomorrow night.
我告诉你,
And here the Bible says that the people press on to hear God. You know, when it started to press in to hear God, there was such a great crowd of people want to press in to hear God. Likewise, tonight there is a crowd here, you're pressing in to hear the voice of God. It didn't start in this leg. It started in chapter 4, verse 42, when Jesus was in the wilderness and in the desert, the people hunt for him. They refused to allow Jesus to go. When you preach in China, the people say, "Why you preach so little? You cannot go." I tell you, it's time that we have a new hunger for God's word. It's time that we hunger for His word. And look at the people, they're pressing to Jesus. Let me ask you a question tonight. If Jesus is in our midst right now, what will be your reaction and your attitude? Is your attitude is like what you're responding? Or you have a very enthusiastic attitude. What kind of attitude will you have if Jesus is here? Any attitude? Any response? Yes. Yes, a response. 有没有什么反应的? 有,你没有出声音? 有。 你的有这样小声? 吃饱饭了没有啊? 哇, 吃饱饭你就有这样大声? 耶稣在的时候, 你的反应是如何? 啊, 真的吗? 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 这本书就是耶稣基督。 John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. And this is Jesus. How do you press in? Let me ask you a question this morning. This morning, do you press in to hear God's Word? This morning, do you say, Jesus, I'm not going to let you go. Even though I have to go to work, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to bring you along with me on the bus. I'm going to hold on to you on the bus. I'm going to take this Bible and I'm going to carry you into the office. Ladies and gentlemen, are you pressing in to hold on to the Word of Life? Amen. You know, a lot of people, you know what they do with God's Word? Oh, God's Word is a fairy tale story that happened 2,000 years ago. No, 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 no. When you look at the Bible today, verse 1, it talks about the people press, the word press, and the word hear, and the word stood. These three words, if you read in the Greek language, it is in the present tense. When we read God's Word, it must always be in the present tense. It can happen today. It can happen now. It can be fulfilled in our life today. Yesterday when I was praying for a man, a man came and I prophesied John chapter 5. I say that the man who was crippled for 38 years, they were waiting for the angel to stir the pool of Siloam. And I said, brother, you don't have to wait anymore. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Receive him. And he received Jesus yesterday afternoon. Amen. Some of you are there, you saw it. They received it on the spot. The word of God is a now word. It's supposed to be acted out and it's supposed to happen now. Most people don't see the power and the reality of the blessings of God. You know why? Because they procrastinate. Oh, maybe what pastor say, I'll do it tomorrow. Whatever you hear from the pulpit, act it out today. And tonight, I want all of you to act out God's word. Amen. And here the Bible says that when he came to this particular place and he saw the fisherman, he didn't say fisherwoman. Did he say which fisherwoman?
No.
He's, you know what God is saying? God is speaking to men. I'm telling you, women are spiritual, but God also wants to speak to men. All the fishermen here, and all the Peters who are here, all the John who are here, and all the James who are here, God is speaking to men tonight. Do you know the word it came to pass? It occurred 598 times in the Bible. So when you flip to the Bible, it came to pass. You flip to the Bible, it came to pass. Old Testament come to pass. New Testament come to pass. No wonder Paul came along and said, you are the living epistles of God.
Paul
And they say, God, I'm not spiritual. How can I hear God's voice? Notice God spoke to Peter, not in a very strange environment, up in a mountain. God spoke to Peter in a very friendly, familiar environment. He spoke to Peter in the fishing village that relates to his fishing career. I tell you, you can hear God's voice in the familiar environment of your life. Housewife, when you cook a dish for your husband, when you're cooking, God is going to speak to you through your cooking. When you cook the meal and you add the carrot into the wok, and carrot contains vitamin A. And you pray, let my husband eat this carrot and he will have spiritual A. Everything he do for God is A. No B, no C. All excellent. Amen. And here comes the people were pressing in. And then Jesus saw two boats. And he tell one of the person of the boat, he said, I want to use your boat. And Jesus entered into that boat. And I was wondering if tonight there's only two boats. I wonder tonight if there's only two of us in this room. Who will Jesus enter in? Who will Jesus talk to? I tell you, if you're there, say, God, speak to me. I wonder tonight, are you having the same kind of desire? Lord, speak to me. But Jesus only entered into one of the boats. In every meeting, Jesus don't enter into every boat. In this context of Luke 5, Jesus entering into the boat is Jesus is now communicating directly to Peter. I pray that tonight the word of God is going to communicate directly to your soul. But how come very few you able to receive that rhema from God? Now this is how the Lord explained to me this afternoon. He said, many of them are chasing for rhema and dumping the logos. They only want prophetic rhema, they don't want the logos of God's Bible. They forget that it is out of the richness of the logos birth forth the rhema. I always found that, and when we do our Bible devotion, God speaks to us out of His Word every day. It's time for God's people to grow up. You don't need a prophet to prophesy over you. You just need to read this Bible, and out of the Logos comes the Rhema. This is how we should lean on God and not on the prophets. Another thing, why they are not able to get this word that will bless their life. Many hear the Logos, but so few hear the Rhema. Because when they hear, they are very careless in their hearing. If you are attentive tonight, And you know that God is going to speak to you. I say God is going to speak to you tonight. But others say, oh, maybe God will speak to me tonight. Maybe God will not speak to me. You will never hear. Many hear the Logos, but so few hear the Rhema. And here in verse 3, Jesus entered into the boat, the ship. Now, why Jesus wants to enter into the ship? You see, when they came back from the fishing, they were very miserable because they caught nothing. In other words, the fishermen were lying at the beach. They were very disappointed and frustrated, and they were washing their nets. And Jesus looked at the fishermen, and Jesus knew that they had a need in their life. And Jesus knew that He can help them. And when Jesus looked at the fishermen, you know what He saw? He saw beyond the physical body, He saw into their soul. You know, on the natural, it was like empty nets, empty boats, but it also speaks about the empty life within their soul. I wonder, you have a big house and a big car, but how about, do you have a big Jesus inside you? If you don't have, you have money and riches, but you don't have Jesus inside you, is also empty. And some of you are frustrated with life. You say, I don't have a successful career, I may be unemployed today. You say, I have nothing in life now. Look at my net, there's no fish there. Look at my boat, there is no harvest. And you look at your life and say, what have I achieved? I achieved nothing. If that is a quick issue that you're struggling through tonight, if this is the question that bothers you and troubles you tonight, I can tell you one sure thing. Are you ready to hear God's word? I want you to hear God's word, expecting God to speak to you. And that is, God is going to fill your boat. I tell you, you know, God has ability not only to fill your boat, but other people's boat. The two boats were filled up with fishes. God is an abundant God. He's an overflowing God. He not only fills your boat, He fills other people's boat. His blessing is overflowing. And here came the Rhema. Verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Now, if you are Peter that day, and you heard Jesus speaking to you, He said, go quickly right now into the sea and let down your net for a big catch of fishes. What will be your response? Can you imagine, you have nothing in your hands, and Jesus said, you are very soon, you are going to have many things in your hands. What will be your reaction? Are you overjoyed and say, yippee? Would you? If you're Peter that day, when you hear Jesus talking to you, would you say, yippee, hallelujah? No. You know what I believe he's thinking in his mind? If he's a Taiwanese, he'd say, 这个人好像有点笑. 为什么呢? Because he thinks that this man must be out of his mind. Because I am an experienced fisherman. Now we honor God, right? But this is only a joke out of the context. And Peter knew that the best time to do fishing is always at night. It's not in the morning. Because in the morning when you throw down the nets, And the fish say, you think I'm stupid? I can see the net, you know. And they swim away. So in the morning when you do fishing, you don't have a big catch. But yet Jesus came and reversed the order of intellect. When God comes and speaks to us, if you want a miracle in your life tonight, whatever is the miracle that you're looking for, it is not out of the hands of a man of God, but it is the word of the living God that produced the miracle. One word from God, God can change your entire life. The miracle comes by believing the miracle working power of His Word. And you said, I believe that I will receive God's Word. You don't understand. When God gives you a solution, it contradicts your intellect. God's rhema will bring your intellect into confusion. Because when God gives you the answer, that is the time that the flesh and the spirit begin to fight. Your spirit begin to believe, but your mind says, I think it's crazy, don't believe it. If God speaks to you and says, oh, send $1,000 to an orphanage, your heart says yes, but your mind says, don't send. It's nonsense. Until you learn to let your mind come into submission to the rhema, you will never receive that miracle for your life. God has spoken to us many times, but we did not dare to believe Him. We don't believe that that word that God spoke to us is the answer for our need. We want God to speak something more grand. But when God speaks something so simple, we cannot believe Him. Example. Now, verse 4, He said, let down your nets, plural. But you know what Peter did? Peter, in verse 5, said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, singular. God said, bring many nets with you, but Peter only bring one net. Peter, limit the unlimited God. God has a big harvest, but Peter's mind could not comprehend how big is that harvest. He said, oh, maybe the catch is my net. Many a time when God speaks to us, we are not ready to take in the fullness of what that word really means. Peter could not believe that fishes that he catch is not only going to fill up the nets, but it's going to fill up his boat. Peter couldn't believe that God will bless him beyond his understanding. That he's going to bring in the net of fishes and even the boat of fishes. How can we enter into the blessings of God? It is when we empty ourselves. When our net is empty, our boat is empty. We empty ourselves and say, Lord, I'm nothing. I will not depend on myself. I depend on you. What do you mean by empty your nets? When you come to the end of yourself. Peter knew by his experience he cannot produce a harvest that day. He had a failure. He said in verse 5, I toiled all night and I caught nothing. In the Greek language, the word nothing is emphasized greatly. What Peter's tone of language that day is like this: I toil all night, but I caught nothing. That's what he emphasized, the word nothing. Do you feel that you are nothing in life? Do you feel that you're useless? Do you feel that you're worthless? Do you know what happened? Years ago, when Solomon built that Solomon's temple, he needs a lot of timber to build the house of God. So he got a loan of huge contracts of timber from the king of Haran in Tyre. And so in exchange for the timber, Solomon surrendered 20 cities of Galilee to him. And when the king go and survey Galilee, it's so backdated. That in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, he called Galilee Kabul. Kabul. You know what's Kabul? Nothing. Kongshi Uyo. Nothing. Are you Kabul today? No, you can never be Kabul. You come to Jesus empty, but God will fill you up to the overflowing. Amen. You can be filled with the fullness of God. And so he heard the word. He said, nevertheless, I will submit to you. And so he obeyed that word. And he rolled his boat out. It was a sunny day. Under the hot sun, he rolled the boat and he began to sweat. Every time when God gives you a rhema, a word has a work to do. You have to do something about the word. If God says, I want to bless you, and you sit at home and say, oh God, I'm not going to work. Please now rain down all the money and go through the roof, all the way down from the 8th floor, all the way down to the 2nd floor where I live. Please send me particularly US dollars. Amen. Is that how it's going to happen? No, you have to work it out. You have to pray, you have to believe, you have to do something to manifest the promise. Everything don't come cheap. Everything comes with a price. And so Peter obeyed the word and he went, and it surprised him. I tell you, God has many surprises for you. Each time you walk with God, God is going to surprise you over and over and over again. Because you cannot put God in a box. God will always surprise you. Amen. Now, I want to share something else. Is that this place, that something happened in this place, it was happened in a location called Lake Gennesaret. And Lake Gennesaret in the Old Testament is called Chinarif. In the New Testament, he had another name, it's called Tiberias. John chapter 6, verse 1, at the Sea of Tiberias, it is actually the Sea of Galilee. Jesus stood at Lake Gennesaret, which is actually in short the Sea of Galilee. Alright, just take notice of this word. Now we are going to talk about the second part. Eight divine counsels to prosper in this new year. Write it down. The divine counsel of God, the first one. The lovers of God, who are also worshippers, will be able to tap into the flow of prosperity. Whoever who love God and worship God will able to tap into the blessings of God. Peter tapped into the rich resources of the Sea of Galilee and he went home with tons and tons of fishes. Secondly, regularly sitting at the feet of Jesus morning and evening twice a day will effectively synchronize our spiritual years to the perfect will of God. Wait, later we're going to talk about how Peter heard twice from Jesus. And the Lord speaks to me, if you want to hear from God accurately, you have to develop your lifestyle of hearing God in the morning and the evening. Number three, now why must we speak of this divine counsel? Many people are struggling. And they're looking for keys for spiritual breakthrough. Tonight, God is going to give you the counsel for breakthrough. Peter experienced a breakthrough. It's called the net breaking, boat sinking kind of a blessing. This was highlighted in verse 6. A great multitude of fish came in, and their nets began to break. And verse 8, 7, their ship began to sink. And the great multitude of fish, the word great was highlighted in the Greek, it was such a great harvest. When God gives you something, He don't give you a little. When He gives you, He gives you so great that you cannot even hold on to the blessings of God. But you say, but this is not a reality in my life. God has blessed others, but why not my life? Tonight we are going to find out how can we enter into the same blessings like Peter. And thirdly, it says pressing into the deep waters of worship is actually stepping into the prophetic zone for accurate hearing and guidance. Now notice I have been highlighting about worship. Because later this will be the master key. Peter began to hear from Jesus and he received accurate guidance. He was able to hear accurately because he was in the right place at the right time in the Lake Gennesaret. Point number four, placing your nets, your boats, and your possession at God's disposal for the advancement of kingdom purposes. Peter lent Jesus the boat. He lent Jesus for kingdom purposes, and God began to bless his life. Whatever God bless you is supposed to give it unto Jesus for His work. He used Peter's boat as a pulpit to preach to the people. What Peter sowed to Jesus, Jesus began to sow back into Peter's life. Now, number five, learning to become a willing servant to your beloved master who will show you your way. Peter said in verse 8, "Oh, I'm a sinful man, oh Lord," which means you are my master.
第八节,西门彼得说,主啊,离开我,他叫他主,表示他是仆人。
The moment you address Jesus not as God and Savior, but as your Lord, something is going to happen to you.
而且他是你的主的时候,
when you say, "Jesus, you rule my life, you are my Lord and my Master," God is going to show you the way out of every situation.
你是我的救赎者,
point number 6.
第六点,
following the leading of the Holy Spirit in the realm of worship will draw out the precious wisdom and plan of God for our lives. Notice again, we emphasize on the key of worship. A lot of people want to know what is the solution for the problems that they face in life. All the wisdom of God is hidden in the flow of worship. Now, number 7. This is a year of drought, D-R-A-U-G-H-T, harvest, and not drought, D-R-O-U-G-H-T. This is a year of drought and not drought, as your blessedness and not lack lies in the hands of God. Prepare for the true disciple and the true followers of Jesus. I want you to have an expectation that the year 2003 is a good year for your life. This is not a year of failure. This is a year of blessing. If you understand how to prepare yourself to enter into this new year, you say, "How can I enter into this new year with such good things?" Counsel number 8, learning to fear the Lord always by acknowledging and recognizing that God is the source of all provision and supply in life. Now, with all that we have just said, we still haven't found the solution. Now we're coming to the solution soon. Now we're coming to part 3. Write it down. Understanding the eightfold process in hearing God in worship. Pepe, you want to know the answer on how to get God's direction? Tonight, this is the answer. And now, eight steps. Step number 1. Write it down. Take diligent effort and much time to plow deep in worship to have effectual results in hearing God. A lot of people, they want to hear from God, but they are not paying a price. When Jesus spoke to Peter, launch out into the deep. Now, we just talk about the measurement of the Sea of Galilee. The shortest distance is from the east to the west. It's 11 kilometers. If you row a boat into the center point of the lake, it's 5.5 kilometers. If 1 kilometer that you row take 3.5 minutes, 5 kilometers will take you 17.5 minutes. Plus another 0.5 kilometers is 1.75 minutes. All together, 5.5 kilometers is 29.25 minutes or 30 minutes. You want to get your blessing? It's right in the center of the lake. You have a row for 30 minutes. The blessings of God will not fall on your lap. You have to row the boat. It takes 30 minutes for an experienced fisherman like Peter and his partner to row the boat into the center of the lake. Now, put it into our context. If you are an inexperienced worshipper, and you have no prayer partners together with you in this worship session, you're not able to lean on the corporate anointing of the church to row your boat into the deep waters of worship. May take you 45 minutes or even until 2 hours. Now we're going to link all this jigsaw puzzle afterwards. The second step in hearing God. You know, a lot of people wants to hear God, but they want to hear God instantly. They want to go to pay a price. But hearing God has a journey and a process. And this morning, God used Luke 5 as an analogy and speaks to me about the 8 process in hearing God in worship. Step number 2. You must be experiencing the tangible sensation of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. And this analogy that God speaks to me was in verse 7. He say that the fishes fill both the sheep. Until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Until you are touched by the presence of God. Until you can feel the Holy Ghost in you, the tangible sensation, then you know you are on a journey to hear God's voice. Without the presence of Jesus, you cannot hear accurately His voice. Peter heard God's voice because Jesus was in his boat. So when you begin to worship God, and the presence of God has not yet arrived, and you want to hear a word from God, you will go into error. By the way, this eightfold process in worshiping God and hearing His voice, tomorrow we will have a practice. So you must come tomorrow night. Because of else you don't understand fully. Step number 3. A renewed hunger for Jesus arises strongly in the soul and the heart of the worshipper. And here, God used the context of Peter's fishing to illustrate this truth. And Peter was moved by the blessing, and he began to draw in the fishes, the great multitude of fishes into his boat. Now here, God began to talk to me about fishes. What does fishes have to do with a passion for Jesus? You see, the title, Jesus Christ, Son of God and Savior, if you take all these 6 words, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, and the Greek language, you take out the first letter of every word, and you put it together, you have the word Christos. And Christos in the Greek means fish. Fish. So the word fish can also mean Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So when they were drawing the fishes,
they
were actually drawing the presence of Jesus into the boat of his life. Now, when you want to hear God, but you inside you, there's no stirring. You are not drawn to Jesus. And you want to hear God's voice, you will get into trouble. Now, step number four. The sinking momentum to abide inwardly in the inner man of the heart. The Bible says in verse 7, the boats begin to sink. Now, when you relate it into the realm of walking with Jesus and worship, it is what we call when we enter into the inward parts of our soul, 内在生活, we have a sinking momentum to go deep into our soul, into the inward parts of our hearts. A lot of people hear God's voice and they're so distracted. You haven't entered into your inner world. How can you hear God's voice accurately? When you're not abiding in a vine, you cannot hear His voice. So if you are still in the outer world and not in the inner world, you're not ready to hear God's voice. So fifth step, a greater depth of worship as a second wave begin to grow in the soul in response to the inner revelation of Jesus in your heart. Don't worry, tomorrow we will repeat and we will explain. And we will practice it tomorrow. Now verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knee or Jesus' feet. Falling down at Jesus' feet is a form of worship. He realized who Jesus is. Jesus is Lord. And when you begin to worship God and seek an answer from Him, you must begin to be drawn to Jesus. And you must begin to have an awareness of who Jesus is. And when the inner revelation of Jesus begins to grow in your heart, you are slowly very ready to hear His voice. If you are conscious of yourself and not conscious of Jesus, you are not ready yet. If you are full of self-consciousness and not God-consciousness, you are not ready yet. Now we come to step number 6. The rising, spontaneous, wordless, inner communion of the soul must be accompanied by activities of the spiritual faculty of the intuition and conscience. Oh, it's deep. Now, when you have deep worship, deep worship must activate the three functions of the human spirit. Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Who told him he was sinful? The conscience in his heart was quickened to tell him that he is a guilty man. An inner knowing telling him that he's a sinful man, that is the intuition. And he began to talk to Jesus, "Go away from me, I'm not worthy, Lord." That is communion. How do you know that you are on the way to hear accurately the voice of God? When you begin to enter into deep waters of worship, your human spirit must be opened up like an open flower. And the functions of your human spirit must be activated. If you still sense a dullness in your soul and in your heart, you are not ready to hear yet. As if there is an invisible power drawing you to say, Jesus, oh Jesus. Something inside you whisper to God. Something inside you want to talk to God. It's a wordless communion. Now we come to step number 7. The inner knowing of the intuition will be quickened and energized to bring forth revelational knowledge. To bring forth revelational knowledge. Peter was astonished, he was as surprised. When you know that God is speaking to you, there will be a knowing in you. If you don't know, you are not ready yet. But when you read the Bible, you felt that that verse was God speaking to you right now. You know that today this is a special verse. That is because the function of the intuition is about to be activated. Now we come to step number 8. Upon the impartation of the measure of God's grace, the inner voice of the Holy Spirit shall be distinct and clear to the hearer. God spoke this word to me through verse number 10. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were the partners with Simon. Now, John, in the Greek language, means God is gracious. You receive the grace of God. Zebedee means thunder. So when they mentioned John there, God spoke to me, until you receive an impartation of grace, which is John, that the voice of God will be like Zebedee, thunder, you will hear it distinct and clear. Pastor, as if now I don't understand that this is a complicated process. That is the reason why everybody say, I heard from the Lord, I heard from the Lord, I heard from the Lord, when the Lord didn't speak. And God spoke this to me, you know. Yesterday night my wife told me, and a pastor told my wife that this is the word for your husband. I said, this is rubbish, I'm going back to correct her. God didn't speak this verse, I'm going to correct you. Everyone said, I heard from the Lord. But you never spend time to move into the deep waters to understand the process how God's word make flesh in your life. Next time, don't say God spoke to me. If you don't understand, there is a process and a journey to train yourself to be sensitive to the leading and the voice of the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night is going to be very simple. Tomorrow is all preaching all the way through. Nothing complicated, I guarantee you, tomorrow night. Tomorrow you come and you will enjoy the word of God. It's so easy to swallow and digest. That's my guarantee for you. Right, come tomorrow night. Hallelujah. And so here, now we are going to link everything together. Pastor, why are you emphasizing on worship as a key to hear from God? Because one of the words that God spoke to me about the year 2003 is to hear the sound of praise and worship. Whatever you're going to hear in these few days are what God prophetically speaking about the year
2003.
The key to hear God's voice today and this year is understanding worship. Now, where do you find the word worship in Luke 5? The question I will ask you firstly, where did Peter hear the first rhema of God? Where was it located at? Verse 4, launch your boat into the deep water for a catch. It was spoken at Lake Gennesaret. The second time that God spoke the rhema to Peter in verse 10, do you know where was it spoken? It was also in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret. Ladies and gentlemen, all that I've said so far is just to come to this simple conclusion. As Peter learned to hear God's voice in a special place called Lake Gennesaret, likewise we will hear God's voice at our spiritual Lake Gennesaret. The word Gennesaret in the Greek language, it means a harp. If you look at the map of the Sea of Galilee, it's in the shape of a harp. What does a musical instrument, a harp, depict? It depicts worship. David played on the 10-string harp. In other words, where did Peter hear God's voice? In a particular lake called Lake of Worship. Tonight we are going to live this word out in our life. You can hear the voice of God. You can hear it during the realms of deep worship. Many times I hear the voice of God in a corporate worship service. Now what will happen to you when you hear God's voice? Two things, please take note. Whenever God speaks to you, He is Alpha and Omega. He don't speak once, but He speaks twice. He is the beginning and the ending. What He spoke at the beginning, He will end the conclusion and the statement. He spoke the Alpha word in verse 4, launch your net for a catch, quickly. And then the Omega word was in verse 10, from now on you'll be fishers of men. When God speaks to you, He will speak the Alpha and the Omega word, the complete word to your life. One day when God spoke to me in January 1996, son, go to Indonesia. I went to Indonesia. I finished my preaching and said, Lord, I'm going home. And the next morning when I looked out of my own window, the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, look out through the window. I saw a big field, school field. And the Lord said, son, can you count how many grasshoppers are there in the field? I say, there's multitudes of grasshoppers. That will be the number of times that you will go to Indonesia. I send you forth and as apostle to Indonesia. And so, when God speaks, He don't speak once, but He speaks twice. He's the Alpha and the Omega. When you hear God's voice, don't just hear it once. When you obey Him, God is going to continue to speak to you again. God's rhema comes in bits and parts. He comes in a sentence, but He hasn't complete the whole paragraph. He speaks to you, but later He will come to a conclusion. He's a continuous speaking God. Maybe now He says, daughter, I'm calling you to be an intercessor. But that is only an alpha word in your life. But when you begin to obey God, one day He's saying, son, as daughter, I'll raise you to be a mighty intercessor, to have international seminars all over the world. That is the Omega word. You know why many people live such a poor life? Many people never fulfill their great destiny in God. They only fulfill part of God's prophetic word. They only fulfill the Alpha, but not the Omega word. Years ago, God spoke to me, I'm raising you up to be a pastor. I went and obeyed, I had the Alpha word. But then God told you to speak to me, son, I raise you up to be a teacher. I grabbed hold of the Alpha word. But now God spoke to me, son, this is not the end of your ministry life. I raise you up as an apostle and a prophet to the nations. I raise you up as an apostle and a prophet to the nations. You are going to go to all the six continents of the world. That's the Omega word. Look at God's rhema. It's so broad, it's so deep, it's so wide. So when you hear God more accurately. In hearing God, not only there are rhema, but there are also blessings. In the first rhema, God said, I'm going to give you physical blessings of fishes. In the second rhema, God gave him a spiritual blessing. He said, you will have a spiritual ministry, you will be evangelists, you will be fishers of men. Ladies and gentlemen, God say there are two sets of rhema and two sets of blessings. When you begin to walk with God as an infant in Christ, God speaks to you at your level. God say, I will provide you with a job. I'll bless you financially. But that is only Alpha word. It's only physical blessing. You have not entered into the kingdom yet. The kingdom come one day. He says, son, not only I want to bless you physically, I want to send you forth as a missionary and as an apostle to the nations. If today you only have the Alpha word, you are a very miserable Christian. If today you only think about mammon and blessings, I tell you, you are very miserable. You are not in the kingdom yet. Let me tell you, in this new decade, God is going to raise up everyone, from the housewife, the student, to the old folks. Everyone will be used and mobilized in the army of God. It is time to hear God accurately. God wants to use every one of us. There is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. God wants to use every one of us. Every one of us is going to be anointed by the Spirit of God. Because you have not heard, you do not know that this is the information. God wants to use all of us. Whether you are uneducated or educated person, God is going to use you. God will use everyone. Do you hear it? If you heard it, you know what should your response be? Oh yeah? Oh yeah? Lord, then what is the Omega word for my life? Lord, what is the ministry that you have for my life? You will begin to ask God right now. And say, God, use me. As you use Peter, use me tonight. You are not called just to be fishermen for the fish market. You are called to be fishermen in the kingdom of God. Fishing souls for Jesus. I tell you, God wants to raise up soul winners. Everyone is a missionary. Everyone is supposed to win souls for Jesus. You know, the wonderful sister, you know, the one with the wonderful blouse, you know, this sister. The yellow with the blue, just beside you, this one. God is saying to you, you're going to be used by God. Everyone here, God wants to use you. What is my ministry? Soul winner. Hey, fish is a man. Win souls. Wherever God send you, go and win souls. 无论在哪一个区、哪一个城市去找灵魂，世上的灵魂， go and win souls for Jesus. Say it with me. Tonight God has spoken to me. My responsibility and my commission in life is to be a soul winner. It's to be a it's to be a vicious man. I will preach in Taiwan. I will preach in China. I will preach wherever there are lost souls. I'm called to win souls all over the world. Have you heard the voice of God tonight? Have you heard the voice of God tonight? Yes, God's word activate you tonight. You have a ministry. Arise and win souls for Jesus. When you go home, you will look for fishes. You are going to pray for fishes. You are going to intercede for fishes. Everything you do, 我的鱼在哪里? Look for fishes, not salmon fish, but fishes. Big fish, small fish, thin fish, fat fish, thin, every kind of sizes. Every kind of fishes, the old and the fat and the young and the old, everything, get it into the kingdom. Hallelujah. But tonight, God say, if you want to hear God's voice, you want to learn how to hear God's voice, you must be in that special place called Lake Gennesaret. And Lake Gennesaret means worship. And this is what we're going to do. You know Matthew chapter 1 verse 23? He said, my name shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us. God is among us. God is in us. In the Hebrew, it means with us is God. In the Old Testament, in the days of the Garden of Eden, God was in the garden. In the days of Moses, God was in the tabernacle. God was in the tabernacle of David. God was in the Solomon's temple. And in the New Testament age, God is in the temple of every heart. Isaiah 7:14 says, God, His name is called Emmanuel. Where is God tonight? God is in His name. If tonight you believe His name, And you have faith that that is the name of God. And when you release that name, Emmanuel, and you sing and worship that name, Emmanuel, you are going to find that His presence is with us tonight. As we begin to sing, open your heart to Jesus. Sing it with all your hearts. Sing it with faith. Because you are about to enter into Lake Gennesaret. We are going to row our boat in worship tonight. We are going to row the boat tonight in worship. We are entering the Lake Gennesaret. And God, who is Alpha and Omega, is going to speak to us. Let us worship Him tonight. As you sing, believe God is with us. Yes, God is with us tonight.